Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor Terrell continues the series, How to Conduct Spiritual Warfare. This message is entitled, Part 6A, Protecting Yourself. At the end of today's recording, I will tell you how to obtain a copy of today's sermon. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor Terrell as he begins today's message.
Praise God, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. And this is April the 29th, 2007. I'm continuing my series on how to conduct spiritual warfare. And today, we're going to be talking about how to protect yourself in a spiritual battle. Let's stand for prayer right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now that you are present with us. And we ask you right now, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to open the Word of God for us in such a way that it will change our thinking. And when our thinking changes, it will change our actions. And our action will bear great fruit. And I thank you right now for the presence of your Holy Spirit that will minister to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Every Christian must know and accept the fact that the devil and his fallen angels are in an all-out war against the believers in Christ. There is nothing that is sacred or off-limits. They hate God with a passion that human beings cannot comprehend. And since they cannot do harm to God and the holy angels, Satan and his followers are taking out their hate on the believers in Christ on this earth. At the shooting that took place a few weeks ago now at Virginia Tech, this young man from South Korea was uttering words where he was cursing Jesus Christ and also Christians. It is obvious to believers in Christ that this man was severely demonic, not only oppressed, but I would say possessed. Because he not only took other people's lives, but he threw away his own life. And the question has been asked by many people, why does God allow things like this to happen? Well, God has given man a chance of freedom. We can do good and we can do bad. God has given us freedom. If the nation as such is in prayer, then things are going better. If things are not going that well, then we have problems. Let's look in Job chapter 1 now. We're going to begin in verse number 12. We have covered this from different directions. But I want to bring out the hate that Satan has. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. All that upon himself put not forth your hand. So Satan went forth for the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger to Job and said, the oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servant with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The fire of God is falling from heaven, has burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell you. While I was yet speaking, it came on another, and said the Chaldeans made out 3 bands, and fell upon the camels, and they carried my way, yea, and slain the servant with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell you. While he was yet speaking, they came also another and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell you. Then Job arose, rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground, and worshipped. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Here was a man that was afflicted. He was afflicted not because he was bad, but because he was good. We're sitting today in California, nice weather, and we have it pretty easy. And you know, I come to the place where when the news comes from Iraq, I really don't want to see it, you know, more soldiers killed, more people, you know, murdered and so on. I'm old enough that I remember the war in Vietnam. And every day in the 60s, when we had our dinner time, there was always 15 minutes from Vietnam, the latest scoop, and we saw the mayhem. But if you think about it, if you really look on Iraq as a nation, something is happening there. It's old Babylon. And there's a demonic prince there. You find not only are people attacking American soldiers, but they are attacking one another. You have the Sunnis attacking the Shias, and they are ruthless. They kill children. They kill women. They're not just satisfied with just doing certain things. But they capture people. And before they kill them, they torture them. And then they shoot them. Iraq is killing Iraqis. And we got to ask this question, what causes such a hate? Because after all, why are they killing one another? One week the Sunnis are crying. The next week the Shiites are crying. This is worse than Ireland, Northern Ireland. And if you look upon it, and you see these people, they rally, you know, and they have their rallies and they scream and they say, death to this and death to that. What you're seeing is a bunch of people demon-possessed. Possessed by evil spirits that hate men. And they have a killing field in Iraq. Satan hates people. If you turn to Job chapter 2, and you pick it up from verse number 3. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth? A perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil. And still he holds fast his integrity, although you moved me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man has but to give for his life. But put forth your hand now and touch his bone in the flesh, and he will curse you to your face. What the devil wants is for people to get so angry, so disgusted over issues that they will curse God and say, God, this is your fault. And the devil will say, thank you very much. That's all I wanted. I want to destroy your faith in Christ. I want to share a story with you right now that I run across this week as I'm doing my writings and studying. And it stunned me when I read this story. I knew a little bit, but not enough to understand it. Let me take you back to 1942. World War II is raging. And I will not give a name on this until after I'm done with the story. I don't want you to have any preconceived ideas. There were two young men, probably about 25, 26 years old, on fire for the Lord, and they were both preachers. And they worked together. And they lived in the city of Chicago. And during these war years, there was a lot of young people being drafted and coming in, particularly Chicago. They had millions of American soldiers come in there and were processed in that area. And they founded an organization called Youth for Christ. Youth for Christ was extremely popular in the 40s and the 50s. It still exists. And probably tens of thousands of young people came to Christ through this organization, Youth for Christ. Was Satan happy? No, he certainly was not. And this one young man, when he was preaching, he was animated. He was anointed. I mean, he was all over the place. There was fire coming out of his eyes and his mouth. And people crowded the altars to give their life to Christ. And then the devil struck. And he was questioned. How do you know the Bible is true? And instead of going to God and saying, Father God, I need your help here, he turned to the world and began to read the scholars. What did the scholars say about the Bible? Is the Bible the Word of God? And he read all the liberal books. And his faith was shaken. And he began to pull back and say, I don't even know if God exists. His buddy was also shaken. And he came to the place that he said, I have to get this solved or I cannot continue. Personally, went to the secular world to get some answers. Person B took a Bible and said, I'm going to go out in a forest outside where he lived. He said, I'm going to spend a few days here and I will not leave until God has answered my question. He got out into an area. There was a tree stump there. He laid his Bible there open. And he walked around and he stayed there for a few days and he simply says, God, you either show me that this is your word because I cannot prove it. And then the Holy Spirit came and showed him that this is the true word of God. He went back and he preached and held meetings. I'm standing here today because person B was the one that preached the sermon, actually for 6 months, his preaching reached me and made me turn to Christ. I did not know that my life was in a balance in the mid-1940s when two young men were debating and arguing and trying to find, is this the Word of God? Person A resigned from the ministry. He became a newspaper editor. He became a politician. And he became a television commentator. And he said this, the man that had been anointed, I don't believe in God anymore. I don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. And then, as he got older, he got Alzheimer's, lost his mind completely, could not repent, and died in 2001. That man's name was Charles Templeton. The other man's name was Billy Graham. Billy Graham later on has been attacked with his mind, where he now is saying that people, the Muslims don't need to come to Christ. They can get saved somehow through faith, whatever they have, saving the Buddhists and so on. The reason I'm sharing this is to tell you this. To be a Christian is to be at war. I remember when we came to Christ, we listened to the radio first, and then we had television, and then we came to a church. But I would say this, that Billy Graham, regardless of what I think he is right now theological, at the time, in 1965 and 64 when he preached, he brought myself and my wife to Christ. I talked to a gentleman this week up in Oregon. He's a British fellow. And he wrote it on our website, and he contacted me. And he said, you know, it's amazing, he said, I was saved. I gave my life to Christ in England during the Billy Graham Crusade in the 50s. You see, you can be called by God, and you can be saved and do the work of God. And later on, something happened, you can't handle it, you have a crash. And remember what Paul wrote, he said, I pray that I will not be a castaway. And this is what I want to talk to you about today. To be a Christian is not a cakewalk. It is combat. To be a Christian is to have peace inside, but trouble in the world. I've been walking now since I surrendered 40 years. I shared that with you last week. It's 40 years ago since my wife and I surrendered to Christ to preach the word. We've been saved about 45 years. As I look back, I'm satisfied with my life. When I lay down at night, I know I might not wake up in the morning, but I did what I could today. I have no regrets. Had there been temptations, had there been difficulties, you better believe it. It's been tremendous. Now, I want you to look now in my outline, sifting. All believers in Christ will be sifted by the devil from time to time. I know that's bad news. I wish you could say, oh, you know, this is going to be funny, funny, funny. But that's not so. We will be sifted. This does not necessarily mean that there is a sin problem because we are sifted. We need to remember that when the devil afflicts us, his goal is to make us so angry that we end up cursing God. Therefore, our goal should be not to cave into the devil's pressure, but praise God all the more. Job was not sifted because he was a sinful man, but because he was a righteous man. Let's read Job 1:1 now. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil, which means he hated evil. In Job chapter 2, if you pick it up there in verse number 3, "And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil? And still you hold fast his integrity, all you moved me against him, to destroy him without cause." Did God take the devil off the back of Job? Yes, he did. The Bible says that Job was blessed 7 times more than prior to his sifting. But I want you to know, I'm not only speaking here, but I'm speaking worldwide right now. Our audio, on the web, cassettes, and CDs and so on. That you are listening out there. And I'm telling you this, there will be a sifting. There might be several siftings. Because the devil wants to break you. Let me take you to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. The Gospel of Luke, the 22nd chapter. Now, I want you to understand something now. That unless we are anchored in the Lord, we will be swept away. My wife and I, one of our favorite things is we go down to the coast and sit there in our trailer and walk on the beaches. And I have walked on certain beaches, and my wife says, "Don't go that close to the water." I says, "Well, honey, the waves are only 1 to 2 feet high. Don't worry about it." I have never seen one of these violent waves. And yet on the same beaches we have walked, there have been people and suddenly a wave came from nowhere and just swept them out to sea and they died. But you see, because the sun was shining, the wind was calm, the ocean was nice, I simply said, "I don't believe that can happen. I don't believe that can happen." And every year, many people are swept off the coast in California dying because they got too close. They didn't understand. Let me read to you now from Luke chapter 22, verse number 31 is where I want to start. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Sifting means to be severely beaten up. "But I pray for you that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you both into prison and to death." And he said, "I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before you shall thrice or 3 times deny that you knew me." Now, Peter, sitting there saying, "I'm not going to deny Christ." But I want to tell you, there is a force that is extremely powerful. And if you don't recognize it, it'll be like a tidal wave, it will sweep you out into the ocean. Let me share some of my personal life. 1971, we were overseas, had revival meetings. We were on the island of Gotland. And the Swedish Baptist Union had their annual meeting, summer camp. And just about every Baptist preacher in the Sweden was there. It was probably about 15,000 people. Was a big annual meeting. And I believe that God had earmarked for me to speak to all these pastors and to get me into a number of churches where people have been saved. I was scheduled to be the main speaker at this conference. And it was an honor because I was only about 27 years old and not even 5 behind my ears yet. On our way to the meeting, we were 4 of us in a team. We had a little American couple with us. As we were driving to the meeting, this husband and wife ripped into my wife. We were not driving. We had somebody drive us. We were sitting in the car. And I heard the most unkind words spoken to my wife where they were just criticizing her over prophecy and things and what she couldn't do and could do and so on. And as I sat in the car, I got offended. I got offended. And I got so furious, I didn't know what to do. I didn't say anything, but the anger was so burning inside on me that it consumed me. I was in a rage, and I couldn't stop it. They got us over to the place. I didn't want to go up on a platform, but they had me to go up on a platform and sit. And instead of praying and saying, God, please help me, I fed the rage. I didn't resist it. And they had a song service, and the preliminaries took the offering and so on. And then they presented me and said, now we have the Swedish American evangelist going to come and give us the message for today. You know what I did? I got up. I was so angry. And I spoke for probably less than 2 minutes. I don't know what I said, but God help what I said. I have repented of that. But I said a few words. I said amen. I sat down, and it was a shock. I understand Peter. Do you think I cried afterwards? Big time. I said, oh God, how could I have done that? Lord, what happened to me? But I want you to know something. When you're sifted, there's a tidal wave comes, and it takes your emotions. And once your emotions are running, your brain shuts down. You don't think anymore. And that's exactly what the devil wants you. We got to protect our mind and simply say in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to get offended. I'm not going to get emotional in this area. How many people do you think God would have used me to have saved? I don't know. I know this, if I stand at a great white throne judgment and they point me out, I know I weep a lot. I ask God to forgive me. I've been forgiven, but I can't relive my life. That's why I'm warning you. Guard your anointing. Guard your Christian life. Make sure you do not get offended, because offense will destroy. Verse 55 in Luke 22. And when he kindled the fire in the midst of the whole, and was set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. After a while, another saw him and said, you are also one of them. And Peter said, man, I'm not. And about the space of 1 hour after another conflict, they affirmed, saying of a truth, this fellow also with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what to say. And immediately, while he said, spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said it to him before the cock crow, you shall deny me 3 times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Did God forgive Peter? Yes, he did. When he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, was a changed man. But you got to understand that Satan has a right, a legal right, to sift every believer in Christ. And the sifting will come in different ways and in different situations. But it has one purpose: to simply destroy your testimony and to get you out of witnessing and to destroy your faith in Christ. Look at the outline now. There is nothing you can do to prevent from being sifted by the devil. There's nothing you can do to prevent from being sifted by the devil. Therefore, we need to pray and prepare ourselves to stand, and having stood, to keep on standing. Turn to 1 Corinthians now. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we pick it up in verses 12 and 13. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. This is a verse that you need to memorize. This is something you need to stand on. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Around 1995, at Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, our location was at Auburn Boulevard at that time. We had some infiltration, and we had a man come in that worked behind the scenes. We had approximately, probably close to 80, 90 people. Great move of God. This man created a church fight. And it was a business meeting called. And he had about 60 people lined up that was simply going to attack me and turn the church around. At that time, I had 2 elders. And I remember that we realized that the church had been poisoned. And there was nothing we could do. And I closed the business meeting. And I was so hurt that I didn't know if I could breathe or what I would do. My 2 elders... and their wives, they simply took me each one by a hand and said, "We're going to take you out, and your wife, we're going to take you out for dinner. I didn't feel like eating." And I remember they drove us up to some nice restaurant in Roseville. And they more or less walked me in, and I was just like a dead man. I was wiped out. And they set me down at the table to pray for me, ordering food. And they said, "We're going to stand with you. We have done what is right." And they simply said this: "Close the church. Just close the church and start over." The church was incorporated, didn't have any property. And so they simply announced to the people the church was closed and they were dismissed. And they locked the doors. And the following Sunday, the door were locked. There were 2 people in the congregation that didn't know anything at all. Sister Claudia Liliana, they came that Sunday. The doors were locked. They didn't know why. They found out later. But what happened then was we opened it up, the building, the next following Sunday. And we had a new beginning. What I want to share with you is this. I want you to really understand that. I found out that these two men were my friends. They were pillars. But you know, one of them is not working with the Lord today. He's divorced today and fell greatly to sin. He got sifted and he fell. And the other guy has been going up and down and never came into the calling God had upon him. It's a rough world out there. Satan's ruthless. As we look around the nation, as we see the judgment, last week, tornadoes, there's been every week massive destruction in the mid-center of the United States, on the East Coast, and so on. Satan hates man. And what we need to do is to find out, how can we stand? Turn to Galatians chapter 2. I would say this, if I had not been married to my wife, I probably would not be in the ministry. She's taken a lot of abuse over the years. When people get angry in the church, they usually hit the pastor's wife, and this is common. We found this out. There'd be many times when she had to wipe my tears, push me, and simply says, keep on going. Don't cave in now. And that's why we need friends. If you're not married, you need a strong friend in Christ that would stand with you, pray with you, and give you correction when we need to be corrected. In Galatians 2:20, we read this. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If I would have known my life 40 years ago when I surrendered to the ministry, and I was so joyous, if I would have had a vision of all the things, good and bad, I believe I would have bailed out and said, God, I don't think I want to go that road. I praise him that we don't know what tomorrow holds. Sufficient for the day's evil thereof. But I'm glad I walked down that road, because Christ has been with me. Turn to Revelation chapter 2. The book of Revelation. And the second chapter. What I'm preaching today is not for sissies. This is not a seeker-friendly church. Because after all, you see, we are in combat. There is a reality out there. People not making it. And we need to be able to say, yes, I've been afflicted. I know how we can stand. We do it through prayer and fasting. In Revelation chapter 2, verse number 8, we read this. This is Jesus speaking now. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things of the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know your works, and tribulation and poverty. But you are rich. And I know to bless be them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be you faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. Jesus said, you're going to have tribulation. We're going to be tried. But let me ask you this. This week, there was a woman in this town that I believe is the most unselfish woman that I have seen or read about. She's a grandmother. She's about 60, 65 years old. And she was raising her grandchild. Her daughter was into something, couldn't raise it. Lived on a second floor of an apartment house here in Sacramento. And I believe Wednesday or Thursday, the apartment underneath her caught on fire, and quickly the flames were just coming up. And it was very hot. As she woke up, she realized that she could not go out the front door. In the front of her living room was just a flaming inferno. And she said, my baby, and she didn't know what to do. I believe she's a Christian, the paper did not say that. But she's crying out to God. And she took that 3-year-old boy and put him in her bosom and held his hand about, wrapped around. And then she jumped out backwards up through the window, backwards, and fell down on an air conditioning unit, but only gashed her leg. And the boy was unscratched. That's unselfishness. She loved that boy so much that she said, I'm going to use my body to be a cushion that you might live. Well, God saw her, and I believe angels broke that fall. And she just had a little bruise on the leg, a cut. And God protected her. What will make you and me to stand? The love of God. If you have a tremendous love for God, you will take offense. You will take abuse. You will take ungodly people and people in the church that are just cutting into pieces. Sharp tongues, backbiting, you name it. We got it in the church. You know why? Because the devil is not in the bars. He got them already, those people. The devil and the demons go to church every Sunday. Every Sunday they go to church, trying to wreck the service and to get people offended. This is the time to stand. If you love God, we will be able to stand. To Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're going to read a few verses there. I want to show you what God says. Step number one now to closing all the doors. Get a vertical clearing, which means clear everything between you and God. That's what we clear first. You never start with people. You start with God first. Here's what God said. Jesus said this. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you shall hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. What a wonderful promise. God is not saying, you got to go out and earn $1 million and give me. He doesn't say, you go out and give so much blood. He doesn't say nothing. He simply said this, all I want from you is just be obedient. I wrote it down, just follow it. That's all I need. Blessed you be in the city. Blessed you be in the field. Blessed you be the fruit of your body. And the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, and the increase of your kine, and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall command a blessing upon you in your storehouses. And in order to set your hand unto, he shall bless you the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord shall establish you in holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto you, if you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Lord sware to your fathers to give you. The Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto your land in his season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only, and you shall be not beneath, if that you hearken to the commandment of the Lord your God, which I command this day to observe and to do them. And you shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if you do not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Now I knew this, that I had to stay with the Lord, or the devil would destroy me. I can say to you today, that even the man I described to you that took out all these people, I met with him about a year later. And I told him, I forgive you. And I prayed with him. All bitterness is gone. I can share this story with you. And I feel no malice or hurt in my body. This is what we got to do. We got to clear. We got to walk with God. We got to obey all his commandments. And then we might be sifted, but we will be able to stand. Now look at the outline here and turn to 1 John. That's 1 John chapter 1. Have I made mistakes in my life? Yes. Have I hurt people? I believe I have. Sometimes I'm so stupid I don't know I do. Particularly women are very difficult, you know, because we men think differently. Women cry, you know, and say we're insensitive, and we probably are. Since all Christians still carry a body of sin, it will be impossible to live a sinless life on this earth. But we can deal with sin on a moment-by-moment basis, using discernment, acknowledgement, and repentance. Now, that's a key. You use discernment, acknowledgement, and repentance. There's a big difference living in sin as opposed to falling into sin. and to stay in sin. Every day there's temptation coming up. If we ask God for forgiveness, they're gone. But if we pick them up and we harbor them, we nurse them, and we begin to live in sin, now the vertical relationship is broken. How do we get back? 1 John chapter 1, verse number 4. And these things write unto you that your joy may be full. This then is a message we have heard of him, and declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now I'm going to tell a story for you ladies. You men can take a break right now. This is another year we were traveling in Sweden. We were up, way up north. The church there had a group of women, of about five or six women, that would cook for us. They cooked breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I would say this is probably the greatest group of cooks that I have ever encountered. I mean, we had royal meals every time. I might have eaten stuff I don't eat today, but it was good. Now, every night I would preach, and I would simply tell people, you got to get with it. And I was a young evangelist in my early 30s. I think I was about 31 years old or something like that. And these ladies were there in a meeting, and I laid on the whole congregation, you got to do better than this. You got to repent. You can't live like this. And the next day, they cooked a meal that was greater than the day before. And we ate that, and the next night I came back and I laid it up on again. So they went to my wife. And they say, why does your husband hate us? We're working so hard in the kitchen, we're giving all these things to please him and the group. And she said, well, the food is good. So she came to me and said, you know, you're hurting those ladies. I said, what do you mean hurting them? I eat their food. I take seconds. She said, they think you're not satisfied. Well, praise God for a wife. Praise God for 1 John chapter 1. I got up the next night. And I said, I want to make a confession here. I said, I want to acknowledge these four or six ladies, and they're doing a superb job. And I said, ladies, I'm not going after you. I'm going after sinner in generality. But you are doing a wonderful thing for us. You see, we got to learn to be sensitive. And when we are sensitive, then people do not get offended. Next point, when we are aware that every action will have a consequence, our attitudes and thinking will either get us in or out of trouble. Spiritual sloppiness is deadly. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians, the 6th chapter. Verses we've been over many times. Finally, we're back again. Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh, shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit, shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be worried well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I read something good in the Sacramento Bee for a change. They probably slipped it in without knowing it. I got a needle in. But anyway, this is about a senator. And this took place probably about 3 or 4 years ago. And this is a young senator, Republican. I don't know what state, I don't remember his name. But this is the one that had a big debate against partial birth abortion. The Senate already had made up its mind to vote for Kennedy. It was going to be passed. The president was going to veto. That was Clinton was president then. This senator got up about 11 o'clock at night. It was his turn to speak. He got to the Senate podium. There was no one in the room except some custodians and guards. And they had it on C-SPAN. C-SPAN broadcast. And he stood there all by himself and spoke to those empty chambers. And laid out a case while abortion was murder. And he spoke for about 45 minutes. He closed and walked home and he thought, you know, no one would hear that, but at least he'd done what he felt he should do. A person contacted him, actually a couple contacted him, about a year or 2 years later, or if they met him. And they said, Senator, I want to tell you this story. My girlfriend and I were sitting and watching TV, and we happened to get into C-SPAN. And we saw you standing there. For some reason, we couldn't turn it off. This is the lady spoke. And then she said this, when you were talking about babies and murder, I began to cry because I was pregnant. And I was scheduled to have my child murdered the next day. But when you were finished, I made up my mind and said, I'm not going to kill the baby. I'm going to carry the baby. And I'm going to give it up for adoption, but I'm going to give it life. And there's a little girl right now that's life on this earth because you stood there alone and spoke to an empty chamber, but I was out there in the United States and I needed what you said. There are consequences. There are good and there are bad. This senator did not know this. That by being faithful, I believe he's a Christian, that by being faithful, there is going to be a young woman on this earth that will be able to sing, she'll be able to be a mother, she'll be able to laugh and have joy because somebody stood up and said truth. Your voice counts a lot when we are sloppy. It can be absolutely deadly. What about if we have blown our lives? What do we do then? We ask God for forgiveness. There are many things I've done that I've blown my things in my life, but I can't go back and redo them. But that doesn't mean I need to sacrifice the future. You don't sacrifice the future just because you failed in the past. Now turn to Colossians. I want to read this before you turn. Let's just read it one verse. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. When my wife and I look back over the years of all the people that have come and gone, we can simply say this, praise God, there's more good than bad. And turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians, the second chapter. If you pick it up in verse 12. buried him in baptism. We know you have risen with him through the faith and operation of God who has raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting that was against us, which is contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let's flip over the outline. Let's do some horizontal clearing now. That means relation with people. And we start in Matthew chapter 5. Now, it's easy to do with God, you know. He's nice. We can love God. But, you know, man, I got to live with that person. I hate that person. You ever been there? Oh, I hate those people I got to work with. They should be shot sooner or later. In Matthew 5:21, we pick this up. You've heard it was said by them old time, you should not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I said to you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, which made you worthless, no good bum, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say you're fool, you're idiot, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, you bring your gift to the altar and remember that your brother had aught against you. Leave there your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. I agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way with him. Lest in time the adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge deliver you to the officer, and you be cast into prison. Wherefore I said to you, you shall by no means come out thence, till you have paid the uttermost farthing. You and I cannot have enemies. You can't have enemies. Even the worst jerk or jerkess you know, you got to forgive them. That's God's word. Because if we do not do that, then God says you're trespassing, you're breaking my commandments. The devil had all kind of rights with you. You know, it's good for the digestive system to forgive. I used to be one of these people before I would ever remember something for years. Yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm. You jerk. You know, you have those people for breakfast. They have lunch with you. They have dinner with you. Your digestion is not good, you know. They don't know nothing. They are happy as larks. And then you go, you got to take them on the altar, and you got to forgive them. You just plain got to forgive them. Is it easy? No. What about if somebody steps on you 7 times? How many times did Jesus say we ought to forgive? 7 times 70, which is a lot of numbers. This has been a key that has kept me and Ina alive. We have forgiven people. And I might not want to have a relationship and talk to somebody, but I forgive them. And you know when you forgive and you begin to pray for someone? When you meet them, you can talk to them, and you actually feel the love of God for that person. Love is the strongest force there is. Now, that's dealing with things people do to us? What about if we do things to people? We got to clear it up. You got to go to people and say, I got some stuff here, got some problems. I said some unkind things about you. Ask for forgiveness. Now turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, these are familiar verses. For if you forgive men the trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men the trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now remember, I've been rear-ended twice in a short time, the last 3 years. And we were going home from church one Sunday, minding our own business, traffic stopping. We were just sitting there talking. And this J person come from a parking lot that just drives right in the back of our wagon. What kind of emotion go through you? You know. Should I decrease his air? Should I tell him about Jesus? Or should I go and kick him in the rear? What do I do? Well, you know, I looked at that guy. I mean, he was a little squirt, probably 20 years old, you know, and just didn't look, you know, look like one, not a hippie. Hippies, we don't have hippies. We got old hippies now, but not any new hippies. But, you know, one of these young people, whatever you call them. And finally, you know, I just walked over to him and said, you know, I feel sorry for you. And I kind of forgave him. Then we got rear-ended a second time. This time we were riding to church for prayer meeting. You know, that's what you know. Here we are going to pray. Stop at a stoplight at Madison and Garfield, sitting there, you know, and this is a new car, new old used car. I looked around. This time the guy didn't stay around. He just backed up and took off and ran. I had to forgive him. We got to learn to forgive. Remember what I started out with. Sifting begins with us. Something happens that would either make you angry, deeply in grief, or offend you. And the emotion begins to rush. Here comes now the wave from the ocean. If you pray up and say, God, when I get this, I'm going to put the Holy Ghost clamp on it. I'm not going to blow my stack. I'm not going to be offended. You can handle it. But once the emotion takes over, you are gone. You understand that? You're gone. If you have a vertical or horizontal problem, don't expect to have great answers to your prayers. Let's close on Galatians chapter 5. You know, there's so many things that can offend us. So many things. But you want to be like a duck. You ever seen a duck having water stick to him? Just runs right off. You can see the beads on him, you know what I mean? You squirt the duck, you know, oh, this is great. It runs right off. That's what we need to do with offense and anger and grief and sorrow. Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There you go. Galatians 5:14. Who is your neighbor? Whoever is around you. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, my wife has always been growing faster than I have. Spiritually, she always a little bit edge ahead of me. And I'm going to share this testimony. My brother heard this, so take a break. Some of you others have heard this, but I'm going to share this with you. I want everybody to know this. We lived in a suburb here in Sacramento. We had some neighbors move in, and these were not good, nice people. These were kind of rough people. They were not married, and the guy had a pit bull. I mean, it was a nasty pit bull. And he was chewing our fence. He was a pretty husky pit bull. So I could see that my fence was coming down. So I built a second fence on my side. Because he refused. The dog was barking on the time too. Now, I developed some hostility with this dog. So this dog was chewing up the first fence. He was working on my second. So I decided I was going to cure him. So I had a hose of water, and I started squirting water on him. Actually, you know, I just filled his belly up with water. Didn't slow him down. He just spit it out, you know, just went up to the fence. So I said, this takes something stronger than that. So I got some ant spray, you know, whatever, it was a strong stuff. And I went over there, you know, and I just put a hole in the fence, just gave him a good dose in his mouth. Well, he kind of went away a little while, you know, just licked that off, you know, and he came back later. It didn't matter what I did to him. He had all kind of problems. So one day my wife said, I'm going to bake a cake and give my neighbors. I said, you're going to do what? Those nasty people next door to us, they're not saved. They don't look good. They smoke, they drink, they do all kind of things. You're going to give them a cake? I said, they're going to throw you a cake in your face. She said, I'm going to bake a cake. She did. She's a good cake baker. I don't know what she had on whipped cream and strawberry or anything, but it's a good-looking cake. Maybe you just put over some strawberries. I don't know. Strawberries. She got some nice strawberries. So I was just, you know, sitting at home, you know, waiting for my wife to come in and cry. You know, being hit really hard. So while she came in smiling, praise God, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Those people said, this is for us. They melted. The love conquered them. And that guy became my best friend. And he came over one day and he said, can I borrow your shears? I said, sure, man, here you go. They were broke. 2 days later, he came back and fixed them. He said, well, they were broke, so I'm not going to use them, but I'll fix them for you. I said, bless you, little heart. I didn't say dirty heart. What happened there was this. We could have had a hate relation for a long time. But because my wife began with love, they became good friends. Ask yourself this. How is your love for God and people? Let me look in verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Are you sniping at other people? This is something we do. You're always criticizing. Maybe, you know, you could have done this better. It's going to be better. You know, like this. When you talk like that, you got demons all around. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one another. Thirdly, are you walking in the Holy Spirit? This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Saturday, I was in the flesh. You ever been there? You wake up, you know you're in the flesh. You don't want to deal with it. You want to work it out in the flesh. So we got on some projects of the property. Going to move some things. It was too heavy for us. I was angry. We're going to move it. I don't care if I bust it. My brother simply told me this. He said, I'll slow down. You know, it's terrible when you recognize you're wrong. And you're mad at the same time. So, of course, you don't want to say right there, you know, okay, you're right, I'm wrong. You know, you got to somehow, you know, say your pride just a little bit. As I walked away, I realized the Holy Spirit said, you know, just calm down. Let it go. To another day, we've got more people. It's not easy to walk in the Spirit. It takes works. Are you walking the Holy Spirit? Just ask yourself that. Fourthly, are the works of the flesh present in your life? Let's look what the flesh is now. Now, the works of the flesh are manifold to these. Adultery, praise God, we got that licked. Fornication, not a problem. Uncleanness, we took care of that. Lasciviousness, bad living, yep. Idolatry, no problem. Witchcraft, haven't done that for years. Hatred, working on that. Variance, yeah. Emulations, wrath, nasty words, strife, sedition, no, I haven't. Heresies, trying to work on that, against that. Envyings, ooh. That's a big one. You know that? I just want to share it. You see, when we go really think about this. I called up a brother. He's not in the church. And he used to be a real poor guy. My wife and I had to nurse him. We counseled him for marriage. I performed a wedding ceremony. We helped him out with a lot of different things. And I just called him up yesterday, said hi to him and see how he's doing. He said, I just bought some more property. I said, you did, huh? Well, I said, you're getting rich, aren't you? You got an apartment complex? Got a place up in Lake Tahoe? Got a trailer park up in Colusa? And you just bought another trailer park up in Redding? Now, that's nice. But you know my flesh said? How come I haven't got that? I worked hard. I got a place that is mortgaged that I pay mortgage on. Envy. You know, that thing comes in just like a little mosquito. And I had to simply say the name of Jesus. I rebuked that. Now, I didn't tell him that. I said, God, I am not going to be envious. It is so easy. Murders. We said, well, we don't do that. Well, sometimes we said, I wish you were dead. That's murder. Drunkenness, praise God, I licked that years ago. Revelings, I don't go to wild parties. I don't eat Mexican food. And such like, inside joke. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, this is really what we need to do. Maybe we should take and write these verses down on some cards. And when we get an attitude, is to see, okay, which one of these nailed us? And then pray over it and cast it out. Now, what is the fruit of the Spirit? I like this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. And they that are Christ that crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Check your spiritual oil level. How's your love for God and people? Are you sniping at other people? Are you walking the Holy Spirit? Are the works of the flesh present in your life? And do you have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life? If you want to get away from being defeated in sifting, this is how you do it, this is what you do, and you will have victory every day. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, that I have a pulpit to preach. I want to thank you, Father God, for your word. And Lord, you know that all of us are sinful people, frail, and we have all kind of difficulties. And I ask you right now, Father God, that you will minister to all of us. Give us grace to judge ourselves. Give us boldness to confess our sins. And give us boldness to love people when they are still unloving, so that we might be victorious and not be defeated, but effective in the kingdom of God. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The elders are going to be here. Pray with those of you that need it. If you go forward, doesn't mean that you're a rotten person. If you have a sickness, you've got something you want to pray for, you can come. The altar's going to be open, my right, your left. If you want to go and pray there, don't disturb you. And you can seek the Lord there. Whatever God's been speaking to you, you come as we sing.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was entitled Part 6A, Protecting Yourself, in the series How to Conduct Spiritual Warfare. It is available on CD or cassette, and when ordering, ask for CD or cassette number RLJ1079 entitled Part 6A, Protecting Yourself. Again, that is CD or cassette number RLJ1079 entitled Part 6A, Protecting Yourself. To learn more about Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, we invite you to visit us on the web at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address, once again, is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number is 888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. If you live outside the United States, call us at 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.